Savannah City Council is about to get really busy. City Manager Jay Melder is settling into the job, and council members will soon be dealing with several high-profile agenda items. Among them, the Coastal Empire Fairgrounds site, the Savannah Civic Center, the Savannah Arena, Savannah End Market Arena, and Forsyth Park. We cover all that ground and more with Savannah Alderman Nick Palumbo on the October 26th edition of the Commute Podcast, presented as always by National Office Systems. Good day, Savannah, and thank you for thumbing up the Commute Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Van Brimmer, and I'm here in your mobile device or smart speaker every Tuesday and Thursday. Lucky you, right? Today's episode features an interview with Savannah Alderman Nick Palumbo, who will touch on several pending city projects. That discussion's coming right up after this message about our sponsor, National Office Systems. If you are a regular listener to The Commute, you know about Scott Center and his team over at National Office Systems and how they are Savannah's experts in office design and outfitting. They work with top quality suppliers such as Dirt Modular Interiors, which builds their product right here in Savannah out at the Crossroads Business Park, as well as Herman Miller Office Furniture. In doing so, they create comfortable and productive workspaces. Learn more by visiting www.natoffsys.com. That's NATOFFSYS.com. Now to the interview with Alderman Nick Palumbo. Pleased to have back on the Commute Podcast Alderman Nick Palumbo, who is the 4th District Alderman. The 4th District is Midtown for the most part in terms of Savannah. And he was here, I'll say what, back May or June, maybe even July. It was before the city manager decision was made.
That's right. An entire lifetime ago in June of 2021, I believe. Adam, it's an honor to be here with you again.
Yes. Well, so let's turn to some city issues now.
That's right. We're here to talk City of Savannah. Nothing boring.
Nothing at all.
That's going to be the new City of Savannah tagline. It won't be boring.
It won't be boring.
Just for the city council.
So as we mentioned the last time you were here, it was prior to the hiring of the new city manager. The new city manager has now been here on the ground for more than a month. I don't think we need to rehash the hiring. That's far enough in the rearview mirror. But what have you seen? And are you seeing the type of leadership that and the ability to work with so many factions on council that is going to help accelerate some of the agenda items that you all have going?
Well, I think that, you know, it's a new beginning for the city, and that's important for all the residents to recognize. And an encouraging story that I have for you, because it's still new, you know, this will be litigated time and time again. And our chief job is to evaluate his performance and see how he's doing. Alderman Pertee and I were very graciously, we were accepted into Georgia Southern's 40 under 40 class, which was which was great and fun. And we went down to Plant Riverside for the ceremony there. And that went on well into the evening. And we both walked and we parked near City Hall. And this was a Friday evening. And we were coming back to our cars at 10 o'clock. And you can look up to the fourth floor of City Hall. The city manager's office is right on that corner looking at it from River Street. And at 10 p.m. on a Friday, his car was still there and the light was still on. So you've got somebody that's incredible, has an incredible work ethic and a lot of energy. We joke around and we call him Bates Monahan after our former city manager, a portmanteau, if you will, of our city manager and our city attorney. He's been very even keeled and he's been very deliberate about his decision making. And he's made the pledge that his first 90 days, he's going to give a full 3-month assessment before making any major decisions on city structure, on, you know, major policies and the internal workings. Now, they're still working on external stuff at the same time and getting some new initiatives underway. But as far as big structural internal changes, he wants to drink it all in for 3 months, take that moment before setting the ship in a new direction, which I think is really smart.
Right. Managing personalities, particularly on city council, is, I mean, I guess he doesn't have to manage the personalities because he is managing the city staff, but every couple of weeks he needs to come in and and kind of tiptoe through the minefield. How's he doing on that so far?
That's right. I mean, yeah, he seems to have a great grasp right off of the bat. You know, maybe it comes from he's battle hardened from being from the DC side, but he's doing a great job so far. And you know, there's members of council and issues that come up that are nothing short of inflammatory, and where we've got to have inject logic and reason and make deliberate decisions, inject it right back in there into the conversation. And he seems to be gifted at that. So we're very lucky, because, you know, you go through a long, arduous interview process, but you still don't understand what the capabilities are until they're going to get on the job.
Right.
And he's still learning. I mean, it's drinking from a fire hose.
Right.
But he's spending a lot of intimate time with each department. Just yesterday, he spent a full day with the Savannah Police Department through all of the ranks and what it's like to be a Savannah police officer. What are the resources that they need? Comparing it to his past experience in DC, which has a much, much larger budget and a lot more capabilities. So we'll be interested to see his recommendation from, you know, being from a bigger town, has more capacity, and what recommendations he'll make for a town our size.
My immediate takeaway from him is he's a good listener with thick skin and doesn't get caught up in the delivery, which I think is very important for the city manager, because some city council members have more tact than others. Are you seeing the same kind of, because I know you've expressed some concerns with him before, and he seems to kind of absorb it. And
that's right. You know, I've had to, you know, if you see something, if you get the hot stove effect, you know, you gotta nip it in the bud right there. Mm-hmm. And there's transitional challenges, as there always are. Mm-hmm. But he's very receptive to that, and very receptive of meeting with different members of the community. I'm impressed at the level of initiative that it's not, you know, we're not calling him and saying, hey, you need to meet with these folks. Right. You need to make these connections. He's doing it on his own. Right. All the power players that are there, the powers that be, the different entities, nonprofits, big, large, everything in between. He's doing that. You know, he's working the full day in City Hall, and then he's spending the evening meeting with those groups to get a better sense of understanding of this entire tempest in a teapot that we have here in the city of Savannah, and this wonderful place that we call home. And I think what's been overwhelming for him and a pleasant surprise is the level of passion that people have for this city. I mean, this is the thing. This is the thing that folks talk about at the dinner table. They talk about what the city's doing. And they have a lot of pride in their city, and they should. And I know that, you know, he's the right man for the job. And he's getting off to a great, great start. He will have his greatest challenges are yet ahead of him, mm-hmm. you know, and I told him that on his first day. I said that the best is yet to come. You're going to have your greatest challenges are some of the largest proposals that we've ever seen here in the city council, finishing the largest public works projects the city's ever accomplished, the largest land acquisition deal the city's ever attempted, which is the fairgrounds, mm-hmm. And then managing what really is the most contentious council that I think the city has ever seen. Mm-hmm. So to do those things, you know, it's going to be difficult. There are going to be a lot of late nights, but he's the guy for the job.
There you go. I want to talk about two projects in particular, but before we would get to those, I want to talk about the youth rec leagues, police athletic league, which has been a priority to get it going again. It has gotten it going again. It's all coming at a time when we just had a shooting and a murder over a youth football game. So keeping that in context, when you look at the youth rec leagues here in town, what is your take? Where do you see it going? What needs to be done?
Well, this is the shooting that happened at Jennifer Ross's. I mean, it rattled me personally. It rattled the community and the city, and it should. It should be shocking to everyone. And we should all be grieving that, you know, violence in our community has come to that at a Little League sports game in the parking lot and settling disputes. I was there at the hospital with the family when they got the news, you know, that their dad, brother, son had passed, and that'll be something that sticks with me forever. And to understand that we need to do something about youth sports in Chatham County, in Savannah, whether it be the city of Savannah, Chatham County at large, We have largely taken a hands-off approach to these independent sports leagues that have formed, and they're paying for their equipment and they're paying for the jerseys and the coaches and the referees and all of that infrastructure. It's not an easy lift. It's not, you know, a couple of guys jumping onto the field and putting these games together. It's difficult. So these are serious sports that parents and families are investing their time into, and they get very passionate about it, which they should be. We need to provide the structure around that. I'm not sure why in the world the city of Savannah doesn't activate its own intramural league, connect it to the community centers, partner with the school system so that we can utilize their sports athletic fields. You know, each government entity doesn't need to have its own sports complex,
right?
That can only be used certain times of day. We're all Chatham County residents. And I do believe in the chairman's vision, the one Chatham. I love it. You know, the one Chatham vision, that we shouldn't be acting like the Swiss cheese municipalities that we are, that we're all, you know, one cohesive unit here together. We're all one government. So we need to put energy behind a real significant youth sports recreation league of basketball, football, baseball, whatever it is, for year-round sports in the community, no matter who you are, where you are, where you come from.
It's accessibility is the real issue here, right? Because these private sports leagues, there's a barrier, and it's called cost.
That's right. It's cost, which adds to the level of competition, which adds to, you know, then there's going to be recruiting, draft picks, and it's much more sophisticated than what I grew up on. Mm-hmm. And I was in a city intramural sports league, you know, the Gladys Chargers. And I played until you had to try out for the team. And, you know, some of us with a certain level of athletic ability are told that, well, you might be better fit for the Scholars Bowl or the chess team. And that's okay.
Scouts. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I got the opportunity to play, and I learned the value of team sports and cooperation and what it means to be on a team, which we can't lose sight of. It's not about winning. It is about the game for those kids. Mm-hmm. Sure, some of them are going to go on to maybe get, hopefully get into college, get a scholarship somewhere, maybe even pro sports.
Yeah, make a living, maybe.
It's infinitesimally small. That's not what it's about. It's not about the competition. It's about the love of the game, teaching those skills to the kids. And the city's not providing enough of that structure. The county's not providing enough of that structure. And we need to provide those services as other communities do across Georgia and the nation.
Yeah. Like you said, I think that's from the whole one Chatham standpoint, that's probably a place where the city and the county could come together. And the county's already got some rec leagues. There's nothing that says they can't build those out a little bit more and make them better than they are.
That's right. Set us on a trajectory where we know the investments that we're going to make into the future. Mm. You know, today we're going to have a $3 million community center in Hudson Hill come up in front of the council. It's built not very far away from a community center that we had authorized two meetings ago. And I'm going to ask tonight, where are the sports and rec facilities? What facilities are you actually going to offer for kids? And it better not be just a basketball court. You know, it's got to be, kids love to play different things. It's not a one size fits all approach. It needs to be a flexible space. Football, basketball, baseball, whatever it may be, or whatever the next, it could be ultimate frisbee into the future. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Whatever it is, has some organization behind it.
And that ties into the origin story of the fairgrounds as well, which it was about providing those facilities and the need to provide those for the entire city, which is, I hope, something that we'll achieve. But we've got to do a better job of it. We've literally and figuratively punted back and forth between each municipality, the Chatham County government, whose responsibilities are going to be. And it's time to have a serious conversation, make those investments into the future.
We interrupt this interview with Alderman Nick Palumbo to offer a reminder about the best source for local news in Savannah. That's right, the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. Want to know more about the expansion of a jazz academy for local kids? What the heck is the deal with this black gill parasite, and why is it messing up your Lowcountry boil? How about the Braves in the World Series? Find the answers to all those questions by subscribing to SavannahNow.com, the digital version of the Savannah Morning News. You can get full access to our digital content for just $1 a month for the next 6 months. Go to SavannahNow.com/subscribe now and sign up. Now back to Alderman Palumbo. I gave a tease that we're going to talk about two projects, and I'm watching the time because I know you need to be downtown for a city council meeting here.
Oh, so, that's right.
Hit them real quick. I mean, before the end of the year or soon after the first of the year, there's going to have to be a decision made on Savannah Civic Center. So not only the arena portion, but the theater portion, or at least the arena portion, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the wording says that you can't have two arenas at the same time. So
that's right.
The new arena shuts down, opens up, they're going to have the decision with the old one. And since they're connected, you'd like to think that the whole site is going to be decided on. Well, can you give us a little preview of what you're looking at between now and January, the middle of January, when the new arena comes online?
That's right. It's like Highlander. There can only be one, you know, there can only be one arena, and there should only be one. You know, a city of 150,000 people does not have the capacity to operate two arena sites. Mm-hmm. And our old arena was built at a time, and they're still built at a time when they have a life cycle and a lifespan, and it's at the end of its life cycle. We have to decide before the new one is finished. Time is a waste and ticking away. We have to decide what's going to happen to the Civic Center site, the entire site, the parking lot, Johnny Mercer Theater, and the arena itself. What is it going to be? What's going to be the plan for the future? Because you don't want to leave yourself in a situation where you're tearing it down and then you're asking what comes next.
Right.
Because you've just put an enormous hole into the right smack dab in the middle of our downtown. So the options are pursue the Urban Land Institute's plan.
Yeah, which was adopted by resolution. Is that?
That's right. Adopted by the resolution, which, you know, provides housing, some mixed use stuff there, and just some general recommendations. The city will still have to do a lot of work there. The other option is, do you keep both and you just keep it as is somehow? I certainly don't recommend that and don't think it's possible. And then maybe there's something in between where a lot of us have talked about the future of the Johnny Mercer Theater, mm-hmm. and that there isn't a venue that size in Savannah. Mm-hmm. And there's demand for that in an in-town location. So on the Commute podcast, I revealed here last time, you know, a Commute podcast exclusive, where I floated this idea. I got a lot of questions about the future of the Johnny Mercer Theater, and looking to our neighbors to the north and taking a look at the Gilliard Center and some other centers where they had a similar situation.
In Charleston.
And taking a look at theirs. And what Charleston did was they had one that was built far away from the street. It had open space out front. It was built in the same era. They made the theater a little smaller. They restored it. They did a public-private partnership, and they wrapped the front of the building with city office space, which has been a contentious item here at Savannah City Council as well. So this very neatly ties together many different ideas and could yield some incredible results. Mm-hmm. So we've been approached, the nonprofit organizations, including Savannah Music Festival, the Savannah Voice Festival, they gathered together and they give it their endorsement that they want to see a world-class performing arts center here in Savannah. Mm. I personally believe that the Johnny Mercer Theater has the potential to be that. And it's going to be an enormous amount of work. And I will come back right to this table and I will be crying about how painful this will be, because it is going to be a very heavy lift. But I think that there's folks that are willing to contribute and step up, just as they did in Charleston. I think there's potential there. I think there's potential to return the grid at the same time. And I think there's potential to return the urban plan that we had there and build a beautiful space that every Savannian can enjoy.
Right. Have you gotten any kind of indication from the operators of the new arena about, I mean, they're building a concert venue. This arena to them is probably more a concert venue than it is a sporting venue.
That's right. You know, they've got, you know, and it is a purpose-built space, and it's remarkable what they can turn around. So they've contracted, Live Oak Group has contracted with Live Nation, which they're, you know, part of the same thing. And they've got a relationship together, and they're ready to turn around for Savannah hockey team, which I believe today or maybe it's next week, they're going to announce their logo, their team
right.
name.
I think you're right.
New, yep, coming online.
Ticket seat assignments for season ticket holders is next week. I know that because I got the email.
You got your, okay, you're on the list. Okay, well, choose, you know.
Don't tell my wife.
choose it there. But they've got, it's a remarkable feat that we've been able to build this new modern civic center. And it really does show the age of the old one and the logistical capabilities that the old one had versus the new one, where they can turn it around and do live venue events in a very short period of time.
Right.
So it's exciting to see that it's still on time. It's on budget. We've got stuff. I mean, we're purchasing, you know, the cash register equipment today.
Okay.
at the city council. So we're getting close.
Getting into the details.
These are the last few agenda items, which is exciting because I know for council, we're looking forward to it being done and just wrapping it up and getting it finished so that people can see it and enjoy it.
Right. All right. So Civic Center site, the next one is Forsyth Park. Of course, we saw a master plan. It's been nothing short of very controversial this year. I know that the final plan is going to come before council. They're saying sometime this month. Maybe it drags into the next month. But when you look at what you've seen with Forsyth Park and what you've heard about Forsyth Park, what are you looking forward to or dreading in terms of that discussion?
Yeah, that's well, it depends on the agenda item where you get joy or dread. Right. You know, I mean, it goes from one to the other. But I think that this is it's joyful for me that I've seen that they were very genuine in getting resident feedback mm-hmm. in the last round. And they've really pared down the ideas. And the best metaphor, what I think of when I think of the Forsyth Park Master Plan is my wife and I, when we moved to Savannah and bought our house, we were determined to change the window colors. And we got a brick house and we were determined to paint, you know, they were a camel brown and we were determined to paint them a new vibrant color. And we went to Home Depot and we must have had 20 different samples and a very exhaustive experience spending the entire weekend painting blue, green, red, whatever it may have been, only to come around and discover after an entire weekend of all of this work, we arrived right back at Campbell Brown.
Right.
That we had, you know, they had it right all along. I think what the Forsyth Park plan affirms is the great things that everyone loves about the park, mm-hmm. that they should be preserved and they should continue, mm-hmm. that there are some tweaks and they did bring up good suggestions that mobility in the park is still a challenge. Lack of bathroom access and facilities are still a challenge. And the future of the band shell, that it needs an upgrade. It's going to need an upgrade into the future to really be the place that the city wants it to be. But all of the recommendations that came forward, I do appreciate the detail of looking at, we want to get a unified lighting plan. We want to have a tree preservation plan, not just down to the tree itself, but limb by limb, that they went through each one and did that assessment to keep those trees going well into the future. And then the most encouraging thing that I have from my meeting with the city manager is there's been an enormous amount of discussion about mobility through the park, bicycles, electric bikes, what it's going to be. In my first sit down with Jay Melder, he said, why straighten Whitaker Street the way that it is? So I think we're going to be taking a look at that in the near future to address those mobility concerns, possibly the parking concerns as well, and add greater safety to those in-town highways, which they're out of date and they need to change. We just need to get the engineering capacity behind that and actually do the damn thing.
Right.
So we'll see what happens at council. I'm looking forward to seeing the feedback of the latest round, their presentation to council, and what kind of ramifications it's going to bring into the future of our most treasured park.
Yeah. And then I'll be interested to hear how the whole private public partnership and how that works going forward in terms of a conservancy. And I think that's a wonderful idea. I think there's going to be a lot of moving parts and a lot of other things that need to be worked out. I mean, you'd like to think that you can be Piedmont Park or Central Park, but I think it's harder than it's being made out to be.
That's right. And it hurts that Piedmont Park received the first true Tomochichi statue, you know, that it's there. And of course, we have the Tomochichi Monument, but it does show and it demonstrates the power of having a conservancy that has the capacity for giving and improving the park.
Absolutely.
So more to follow. Right. We'll be keeping an eye on it.
So the last thing before I let you get out of here is you are the champion of the aluminum Go Cups.
Yes.
I know the pilot program is either wrapped up or ongoing? What can you tell us about that?
The pilot program is now officially closed, and we have passed the baton to the partner businesses to pursue this under their own volition, which we're very excited to announce that they are.
Okay, good.
In just a couple of days, River Street Liquor will be receiving their first order of aluminum cups. Mm-hmm. And they've partnered with, I believe, Visit Savannah to get some, you know, shared logo space and real estate there. Mm-hmm. And they grabbed a hold of the product and ran with it. You know, so they're doing it on their own. We know that some of the business groups, including the Downtown Business Association, the Waterfront Association, are evaluating, can they do a group buy? Figuring out the logistics, because the support that we've received from across the nation has been overwhelming. Mm-hmm. We got calls from the San Diego Zoo, state of South Carolina, other cities in Georgia when they came here for the GMA conference. They loved it. And clearly the public loved it as well. We had 700 survey responses. We had a QR code that was on the cup and 700 survey responses. The very first question was, do you prefer the aluminum cup over the plastic cup? And 96% of the respondents said they prefer the aluminum cup.
And the other 4%, just because it wasn't red, they didn't think it was a real to-go cup, right?
That's right. That's right.
You got to paint them red.
You got to paint them red, or they, some it said that we don't like the city logo. We want, you know, Georgia Bulldogs on there. Like we want, you know, they had some issue with the logo itself. So we wanted to put something on there that everybody could get on board with. And now they can design their own. And, you know, 96% of people don't agree on hardly anything, including Santa Claus and Coca-Cola. So that's exciting to see. It's been a huge success. And we're looking forward to more great news and continuing to work with Ball. We got their attention. They're based in Rome, Georgia, and we got their attention as they came to experience the Aluminum Go Cup. And they said, wait a minute. Port of Savannah is, you know, right here. So they're working with World Trade Center Savannah and CETA about moving some of their operations down here, trying to target, instead of a 50,000 cup run, a 1,000 to 2,000 cup run. But we're super excited to pass the baton. You know, this will end the city's involvement with the Go Cup program. And we just wanted to empower them to have a sustainable choice, which is exciting that I'll see continuing on into the future.
Well, I saw aluminum ball to go cups in my Wilmington Island Kroger the other day. So they are spreading quickly.
That's right. The number one selling cup on Amazon today is the aluminum cup. I think folks are, whether Ball knows it or not, you know, people are making the poor man's Yeti out of them. Right. And they're gluing some. And I've done that. I glued two of them together to get an insulated cup. Yeah. And I love going into City Hall. And I love seeing other people that have them because they're keeping them. Mm-hmm. And we were concerned. We wanted to study, is there going to be a litter problem? Are we going to be picking these up? And the sanitation folks and our leadership said, we folks are recycling them or they're keeping them. Right. And you'll see folks walking, you know, around with 10 of them to take home. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting when you're getting calls from the businesses of, hey, where can I get more? Because it's exactly what we'd hoped for, that if you have a superior, sustainable product, businesses are going to take and run with it on their own.
Yeah.
And it didn't require a mandate. This is all volunteer. So it's just great to see it continue to be a success.
Yeah. Well, all very exciting stuff.
Onward and upward. Now we need to fix recycling glass. And we're working on that. So we should have some news from the city pretty soon to be one of the first in the nation to bring back recycled glass and curbside recycled glass and get paid for it. So. Right. Yeah, that's a pretty good deal to get paid for something you're throwing away. So you'll get a break on your utilities bill and help the city's bottom line at the same time by enjoying your favorite adult or non-adult beverage.
Yeah, I can remember with the bringing the bottles back so they could wash them and reuse them. I know those days are long behind us, but it's somewhat frustrating that since 2 or 3 years now, there's been no glass recycling.
That's right. And it's hurt the image of recycling itself because, you know, I get calls all the time about, you know, like it's a conspiracy that, oh, did you know the city of Savannah doesn't recycle? And not recycling glass has given recycling across the board a bad name. We need to turn that around and it's going to require a lot of outreach. And we're looking towards doing some more of that into the future when it comes online to say, yes, the City of Savannah Recycles, telling the story of where does it actually go when you throw it in the bin? What does it become?
That's right.
And folks should be really encouraged about the work that our sanitation department is doing. That in the midst of 2 years ago, China, as a defense mechanism, no longer purchasing United States recyclables, that we've continued to adapt and overcome in that marketplace and still work for the city.
All right. Well, you have to run.
That's right. Time to talk fairgrounds.
There you go. We should have another podcast to talk about the results of that down the road.
That's right. Well, thank you, Adam. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's all for the Tuesday Commute Podcast. Thanks again to our presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. For more interviews with local newsmakers, such as Alderman Palumbo, check out the Commute Archives by searching The Commute with that Savannah Opinion. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.